Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 13. Psalm 13, we'll be reading the 6 verses of this psalm. Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we continue our study of the book of Psalms and the various types of psalms in the Psalter. We talked last week about the hymn of praise. And notice the structure of that hymn, a very simple structure, the call to praise, either a call to ourselves, O my soul, praise the Lord, or a call to others to praise God. And then the reason given for that call, the reasons of who God is and what God has done. And then often a final call to praise, praise the Lord. Tonight, we look at another one of the types of psalms in the Psalter, the Psalms of Lament, or what Walter Brueggemann would call the Psalms of Disorientation. Remember his three big categories, Psalms of Orientation, when everything's going fine, Psalms of Disorientation, when things start to fall apart, and Psalms of Reorientation, when God answers our prayers. Tonight, the laments. I don't know if we think about laments much in the life of the believer, but if you look at the book of Psalms, the laments form the largest single group in the Psalter. There are hymns of praise, there are songs of thanksgiving, there are creation psalms, there are wisdom psalms, there are God reigns psalms, there's a variety of different types of psalms, but the largest single group are the Psalms of Lament. In this book entitled Tehillim, Praises, lament takes a primary role. What does that in itself say about our life? Should we expect everything to go well? Should we expect the sort of health and wealth gospel, once you believe in God, the money just starts pouring in? No, God in the Psalter gives us words to speak to Him, particularly when things do not go well. The laments form the largest single group in the Psalter, and there are really two types of laments that we see. There are individual laments, like the one we're going to look at this evening, and there are communal laments, where the community laments before God. And we just sang one of those in Psalm 80, where the psalmist says, "And we shall be saved when thy face shines once more." There are times when as a community we lament before God, and also times as individuals. Psalm 13 is one of those individual prayers of lament. And the laments also have a particular structure that we can recognize, a very simple structure with really two basic parts in the lament. The laments begin with a plea, and they end with praise. Those are the two basic parts. There's the plea to God, and there's the praise to God. And the laments move from plea to praise. The laments give voice to our concerns, give voice to our prayers, calling out to God, but every lament ends with praise to God. Oh, there's one, Psalm 88, where it's perhaps hidden from us, but even there's hints of that movement from plea to praise. The whole structure of the book of Psalms is set up that way. I said the Psalms are not a haphazard arrangement, like a deck of cards. You could shuffle them and have the same result. No, the whole book moves from plea to praise. In books 1, 2, and 3, we find the most of the laments. In fact, you begin the Psalter after the introduction, Psalms 1 and 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, Psalm 6, Psalm 7, all Psalms of lament. Psalm 11, Psalm of lament. Psalm 13, Psalm of lament. All of these laments at the beginning of the Psalter. And then moving to books 4 and 5, where we see mostly songs of praise in the Psalter. There's movement. Movement in the individual Psalms, movement in the Psalter as a whole. To remind us that as we go through difficult times, as we go through hard times, as we lament before God, the intention is that He bring us to a place of praise. So that there was two big portions in the Psalter, the plea and the praise. That can be broken out just a bit more, as I have on our outline this evening. The plea can be broken down into the address, the complaint, the petition, and the motivation. The address, who do we lament to? The complaint, perhaps it's a complaint against God. God, what are you doing? Perhaps it's a complaint against myself. My soul, why are you cast down within me? The echoes of Psalm 42. Or perhaps the complaint against the enemy. The enemy is overcoming me. So this complaint against either God or self or enemy. Then there is the petition. What is it we want God to do? If we're calling out to Him, what do I want you to do, God? And the motivation, why should He do it? So those four pieces form the plea of the lament. And then the last section, the praise, is formed by an assurance that God will hear us, a vow to praise God when He does, and a final word of blessing from God or praise to God. So the assurance and the vow to praise and the praise itself. The purpose the laments are given is to help give voice to our prayers when we are in those times of disorientation. Sometimes we are so overwhelmed by what seems to be coming at us. We say, I don't even know how to pray. I'm so overwhelmed by my personal situation, by my work situation, by my family situation, I can't even utter a prayer. The laments are given to us to give us a voice in times when we are so distraught, so distressed, so overwhelmed. And they bring us from plea, from that desperate condition, to the praise of our God. Psalm 13 is a psalm, a prayer of lament. The psalmist begins, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" He begins with the address, and while it might seem obvious, he addresses God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? He reminds himself right away that God is the one who is still in control of all things. Even in this desperate time, even in this lament, it is to God that he turns for the answers that he so desires. I say it may be obvious, but it's significant as well. How many times in our life, when things start to go wrong, isn't it easy for us to say, you know what, I'm so overwhelmed by everything coming at me, I'm not going to pray to God, I'm not going to turn to Him. And I'm not going to even go to church anymore because I'm so overwhelmed by all my distress. And I certainly won't ask the elders for their help, even though they are God's appointed representatives. How often we forget to address the one who can hear our complaint, who can hear our plea, who can answer. When we're in distress, it's so easy for us to turn away from God, away from His church, away from His office bearers, and to forget God has given us a place to plea to, and ones to voice our complaint to. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? The address, properly, is to God Himself. Then the psalmist's complaint. And in Psalm 13, we see all three parts of the complaint being mentioned. A complaint against God, a complaint against self, and a complaint against the enemy. First of all, the complaint against God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The psalmist feels that God has forgotten him. He is overwhelmed by the situations around him and believes that somehow God doesn't see. God doesn't care. Perhaps God's not aware of what's happening. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? That beautiful poetic language of God hiding His face is typical in lament psalms. The poetic picture of God hiding His face is a picture of struggle, a picture of difficulty, and at times even a picture of death. In Psalm 104, not a psalm of lament, but in Psalm 104 we read that all creation looks to you, you give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with your good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you hide your face, we are dismayed. It's as if God turns His face away from us and doesn't see us anymore. That same turning of the face language can be found in Psalm 27, in Psalm 44, in Psalm 69, in Psalm 102. For God to turn His face away means distress and ultimately means death. I feel like you've forgotten me, God. Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know the struggles I have? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The complaint against God. Have you forgotten? The complaint against self. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? God, you don't seem to be listening, so I'm taking counsel in myself, and I simply can't solve the problem. I'm taking counsel, I'm trying to figure it out on my own ways and my own works, and it's just not working. How long must I take counsel in my own soul and yet have sorrow because I can't solve it? We saw this morning in our passage the difficulty of taking counsel within oneself. Ahaz took counsel within himself to align himself with Assyria, and Assyria came and later destroyed them. When left to ourselves, we're so weak, so frail. We can't answer the problems and the difficulties and the distresses of life in ourselves. The psalmist complains, I simply can't do it myself. How long must I try? How long must I take counsel in my own soul and have sorrow in my own heart? He complains against God. He complains against self. And he complains against the enemy. The last half of verse 2. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? It seems to the psalmist like the enemies are winning. Like he's being overcome by the forces coming against him. And I find it so interesting that in so many of the laments, the enemy is not spelled out for us. We are not told particularly who this enemy is who was coming against David at this time. Because the Psalms intend to resonate with all of us in our lives. If it was a particular enemy at a particular time, we could say, okay, God, fine, David can lament, but I can't. No, it's a general sense that he's being overwhelmed by some enemies out there. In our lives, we don't know sometimes specifically why even things are happening. We know the great enemy, Satan, is against us. But it seems like the forces of evil are pounding on us. Lord, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? There are particular times in our life when that enemy seems to become so real and take a particular form. I don't like to use instances from my life as sermon examples. I prefer instances from your life. I like those a lot. But an instance in our life, when I was preparing to become a minister, and in the candidacy process toward me being allowed to be a minister, it seemed like again and again and again, roadblocks were being put up. Faculty members writing particular reports and boards of trustees making particular recommendations or lack of recommendations. And we said, how long, O Lord? How long? It seems like the enemy is being exalted. I think it was during that time I learned to pray the laments, to recognize how weak and frail we are, how little we can do, and how God must be the one who is powerful, how God must be the one who is active. I know that some of you tonight have the enemy coming against you. And you say with the psalmist, how long, O Lord? How long will the enemy be exalted over me? Psalm 13 gives us a voice. A voice to our prayers, a voice when we are in distress, a voice to speak our plea to the one who can do something about it. So the psalmist petitions God. What does he want God to do? Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Consider me. Answer me. It feels like your ear is turned away from me. It feels like you are deaf to me. So answer me. Consider me. Remember me. He says, light up my eyes. Again, beautiful poetic language. For one's eyes to be lit was to have life once again. The psalmist pictures himself as overwhelmed by the enemy, overwhelmed by all these things, as if he's a dead man, as if God has turned his face from us and we have died. Now answer that, O God. Consider us. Enlighten our eyes once again. Bring us back to life. Remember our afflictions. Remember our hardships. And in your power, answer us, O God. That's the petition. That God would act, that God would consider, that He would answer, that He would light up our eyes once again. Don't let us die in this. Don't let us be overwhelmed by this. But answer us. And the motivation, why should God act? Why should He do that? The psalmist says, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. It can be easy for us in these difficult times when we call out to God and we say, God, consider us, God, answer us. It can be easy to become very self-serving. God, answer me in this distress because I'm having a really hard time right now. The psalmist says, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. But he is not self-serving here. What the psalmist is saying is, light up my eyes, lest I sleep in death, because if I die, God, I won't be able to give you the praise you deserve. The psalmist's focus is not on himself, lest I sleep in death, but if I sleep in death, you, O God, will be robbed of praise. Think back, or perhaps look back, to Psalm chapter 6. Psalm 6, the psalmist speaks. Verse 4, "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise?" If I die, God, if this overcomes me, I won't be able to praise you as I ought and as you deserve. From Psalm 88, verse 10, we read these words about trusting in God and having His glory be our main focus. "Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in Abaddon?" No, it's not in the dead who praise you. It is the living who praise you. Psalm 115, "The dead praise not the living God." The psalmist says, "Lord God, if you let me die, you are robbed of praise. You are robbed of glory. If I sleep the sleep of death, you won't get the praise that you deserve from me." Not a self-seeking motivation, but a desire to bring praise to God, more praise. "And if I live," the psalmist says, "then I can do that. God, don't let me sleep the sleep of death, or I won't bring you the praise that you deserve." And he says, "Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." Verse 4. "Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. Because in my destruction, your honor and your glory is at stake. We think back to when God brought his people out of captivity. And they were wandering in the wilderness, and they made that golden calf, and God was about to kill them. And in Exodus 32, we read, Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in a mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people." Moses pleads for the people, but for the sake of God. If the people are destroyed, Egypt will say, "God, you failed somehow. God, it was for evil intent that you brought them out, just to destroy them." And God's name will be mocked. The psalmist says, "Hear me, answer me, consider me for the sake of your name, O God, that you might receive the glory, the honor, and the praise which you deserve." When we are overwhelmed with difficulties in our life, those around us should know that we are believers, should know that we are Christians. And they will watch. How do we face adversity? Oh, it's easy to be a Christian when everything's going fine. But what about in the difficult times? What does that say about God? When we stand at the grave of a loved one, how do we mourn in a way that is pleasing to God? When we see a child in the hospital, how do we call out to God? What's our relationship to Him? When we have difficult tragedies in our life, how does God receive the praise? When we are afflicted, the enemy watches. Why not the enemy say, "I have prevailed over him," or "the foes rejoice because I am shaken"? It is God's honor that is at stake. Which is why it's important for us to learn the laments. To learn how to pray these prayers to God in the most difficult times in our life. We're called to give God praise. Called to give God glory. And the laments give us a voice for our praise. A voice in the address and complaint. A voice in the petition and motivation. And finally, a voice of trust and assurance and confidence. Verse 5. After laying out the lament, after giving the plea, the psalmist says, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The psalmist, as he opens his mouth in lament to God, knows that in spite of what he might feel around him, God still is in control, and God still is the one who will act on behalf of his people. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I know, God, that you are the one who's in control of all things. I know even in this time when it seems like your face is turned against me, you still are enthroned as the Holy One of Israel. You still are the King on your throne. And I have trusted in your steadfast love. And I will rejoice in your salvation. The assurance that even in the deepest, darkest depths, God still can be trusted. He still can be trusted to do what is best for his people. The assurance of being heard and the vow to praise. Verse 6, I will sing praise to the Lord. I'm not right now. I'm going through lament right now. But God, I trust in you, and I know that once again in your good time, you will bring me to a place where I will sing praise to you. The vow to praise God as he hears our plea, as he hears our lament, as he does consider and turn and answer us and give light to our eyes. I will praise you again, God. I've talked about your honor and your glory being at stake, and so when you do this, I will praise you and bring glory and honor and adoration to you. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is an interesting verse to end up with, interesting verse to translate. I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but what the psalmist is saying in verse 5, he reflects upon the past. I have trusted in your steadfast love. God, I know you have acted before. In verse 6, what he's saying is, I will sing to the Lord because I know that he will deal bountifully with me. For those of you English people, it's a future perfect verb. And the idea is, I am so sure that God is going to act, I can speak of it as if it's already happened. I am so sure that God is going to hear my voice. I am so sure that I will sing praise to him. I can describe it as if it's already taken place. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. Or better yet, because I know he will have dealt bountifully with me when he takes me through this. So sure of the outcome that he's able to praise God. Now notice, between the plea and the praise, there's no movement in time. This is all one psalm spoken at one time. And yet the psalmist, while he begins with this plea and this lament, reflecting upon God, reflecting upon his steadfast love, vowing that he will sing praise to him, is able, although nothing has changed yet, he is able to say, I will sing to you, O Lord, because you will have dealt bountifully with me. He is brought from plea to praise simply in the event of the lament. Simply by taking this lament on his mouth, he is able to move already to the praise of God. Nothing has changed in his situation between verse 4 and 5. He's still in the difficulties. The enemies are still coming against him. He's still taking counsel in his own soul. He still thinks God is silent. But he gives voice to his trust and his assurance. And even in the event of giving voice, he's beginning to move already from plea to praise. When we go through difficult times, hard times in our life, even before God takes us through, we remind ourselves of His steadfast love, and we can rejoice, even while we're still in the trial, in the salvation that we have. Rejoice in what God has done and be so confident that He will deal bountifully with us in the future. Taking the lament on our lips moves us from plea to praise, even though we're still in that lament situation. The laments teach us. Teach us how to bring praise to God in difficult times. They're important for us to know, important for us to take on our lips, because Christ Himself took the laments on His lips. The laments speak about what Christ would go through in His crucifixion. We think of Psalm 22, where it says in verse 18, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." What's that a picture of? It's a picture of exactly what happened to Christ. The laments described His circumstance. Verse 15 describes what brought Him to say, "I thirst." This lament. And of course, from the cross, he took those words of Psalm 22, those introductory words, on His own lips when He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? Why are You so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but You do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Christ Himself took laments on His lips as He was hanging on the cross. And yet Christ knew the movement from plea to praise. We know Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have You forsaken me? But the psalmist goes on, "Yet You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In You our fathers trusted. They trusted and You delivered them. To You they cried and were rescued. In You they trusted and were not put to shame." When Christ cries out, my God, why have You forsaken me? As He is bearing the wrath and anger of God against the sins of humanity, He knows also God will hear that cry. God will answer that cry. And God will deliver him. Which is why He can also say from the cross at the end of His life, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." Christ lamented. And in a far greater way than we can even imagine. When the enemies come against us, it's difficult, it's hard, it's oppressive. But Satan himself was coming against Christ to try to overcome him. My God, why have You forsaken me? And Christ, not because of anything He had done, but He was suffering. He was lamenting on our behalf. That we might never have to take the final lament on our lips, "God, You have truly forsaken me." No, Christ cried out that cry for us. And God, in rescuing and delivering Him, gives us a picture of what He does for us and what He will do for us. He has rescued us from the deepest pit of lament, from the depths of our sin. Jesus Christ bore that curse, that burden, that enemy for us. And now allows us to hear the words, "God, You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Your people. In You our fathers trusted, and You delivered them. They cried and they were rescued, and they were not put to shame." Christ's ultimate agony, the ultimate lament, was that we might ultimately have life. Oh, we still face difficulties, challenges, hard times when the enemy comes against us. But not the final lament, where God Himself forsakes and turns His back on us eternally. Even in the difficulties, we know God is still in control. The laments give a voice to our plea. They give a voice to our praise. when you are going through difficult times, when the enemy rises against you, don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from His Word, but turn exactly to it. That's why He has given us the Psalms, that we might be able to pray to Him, to bring our plea, our petition to Him, and to be reminded that even while the enemy is still coming against us, God is faithful. I have trusted in Your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in Your salvation. May God help us to rest, to trust in Him. Let's pray together. Lord our God, so often our life goes along so well and everything is smooth and it's easy for us to forget to bring praise to You. And then there come those times of disorientation, difficulties and hardships. And we say, God, where are You? But we know, O God, that You are enthroned eternally. If there are those tonight who are going through hard times, if the enemy seems to be rising up against us, and if the enemy seems to be winning, will You remind us that You, O God, are in control? And that even though the difficulty is not removed yet, we can vow to praise You, being concerned for the honor of Your name. Lord God, help us to move from plea to praise, for You are the God who deserves the praises of Your people. Hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.